It's such a joy and delight to be with you. And in Christ, there is no East or West. There is no Buckeyes or fighting Illinois. So, all right. Well, I want to begin by telling you some stories. I want to tell you the story of my friend, Tae-Yu. Tae-Yu came to study in the United States from Taiwan, where she had studied Buddhist philosophy. She was deeply committed as a Buddhist. Many Buddhists are nominal, but she was a sincere Buddhist. And when she came to the States to study, she was met at the airport by a Christian family who welcomed her into their home. And the first meal they ate together, the family, as their custom was, would join hands around the table and give thanks for the food. But not only did they give thanks for the food, they gave thanks for Tae-Yu coming to their home. And they began to pray for her that she would be able to make the culture adjustment, that she'd be successful in her studies, that she'd be able to make friends in the United States. And as they prayed for her, this was the first time in Tae-Yu's life that she'd ever heard someone talk to God personally like that. And as that prayer took place, something happened in her heart. She told me later, she said, "I remember thinking, I don't know who this God is who they're talking to, but I would like to know more about this God." So after the 3 or 4 days she spent in their home, she followed through by joining a Bible discussion group where she could learn more about this God who they prayed to. And within a few months, God had touched her heart and her life, and she dedicated herself to Jesus Christ. And you know, that young woman grew in her faith, and now even though she received her PhD in higher education, she decided to go into a literature ministry where she could provide literature to Chinese who were wanting to know more about God. Let me tell you another story, the story of my friend Abdul. Abdul actually came from Afghanistan to study in the United States. You heard about what Afghan culture is like and the extreme hospitality that's practiced there, but when Abdul came here, he didn't find any greeting. He wasn't met at the airport. He wasn't welcomed into anybody's home. And he'd left his family in Afghanistan. He had a wife and children, but they were unable to come with him. And so he experienced profound and deep loneliness. He longed for the opportunity to talk to someone at a heart level, but he didn't have that experience until there was this family who invited him over to their home. Now, they did what we don't recommend you do when you practice hospitality. They linked the invitation to their home with going to church. They said, "We'd love to have you for lunch, but we go to church on Sunday morning, and would you come with us and then come home for lunch?" He really didn't want to go to church. He was a Muslim, and as a Muslim, was not interested in going to church, but he was so eager for that meal. So he said, "Oh, I'll go to church." So he went to church, went home, and it wasn't just a quick meal. It wasn't the type of meal where you eat and then you bring the person home. They spent the whole afternoon together. They listened to his stories about Afghanistan. They, you know, pulled out the world map and found his city where he was from and just told stories, and they took out their photo album and shared those stories with him about their family, and they just had a great time. And so when they said, "Would you like to do this again?" he said, "I'll go to church every week if I get to go to your home." So every week Abdul began to go to church with this family, and every week he'd spend the afternoon with them, and it was the favorite time of the week for him. It was the thing he looked forward to all week. And they built a deep friendship. And gradually, Abdul began to listen to what the pastor had to say. And he was struck by the word of God. And Abdul had never met an Afghan Christian in his life. But through that love and that hospitality, and through the preaching of the word, Abdul was drawn to Christ. And he made the decision to follow Christ. Before coming to the United States, Abdul was one of the top translators in Afghanistan. He would translate for the foreign diplomats and dignitaries who would come. And so after he became a Christian and read the Bible in his language in Dari, he found it a little bit rough. And he decided that he would use his skills to retranslate the New Testament into his language. And God used him in other ways as well. Let me tell you one more story. Story of my friend Meng Ting, who came to study from China. Meng Ting arrived, and she, like my friend Tae-Yu, was also picked up at the airport and housed with a Christian family who allowed her to go through the culture shock, the initial culture shock and jet lag and overcome that. And as she was in their home, they invited her to a concert. It was a Christian concert. And there at the concert, her heart was moved. And when the invitation was given at the end of the concert for people who wanted to follow Christ, 4 days after coming to the United States, she made her decision to follow Christ. And she came to my Bible study group the next week, and we were just having a time of sharing and introducing ourselves, and we asked people to share something about themselves. And she said, well, I think I became a Christian. And I said, what do you mean you think? She said, well, I don't know if I followed the right procedure or not, you know. But as we talked, and it became evident that she really did have a genuine repentance and faith. And I asked her, how is that? Did you hear the gospel in China? Were you, you know, what was your experience before you came? She said, no, but I was really hungry for something in my life. And I had found a Bible, and I began to read the Bible on my own. And so when I came to that family and heard the message, it just all came together. Friends, brothers and sisters, hospitality was the key that opened the door in each of these stories. It is the key to people's hearts and lives where they can experience the genuineness of love, the love of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want to share with you out of one verse, the verse that we read here in Hebrews 13:2, which is such a simple verse, but it's so powerful. Let's look at this verse together. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, first, we notice in this verse that it's translated, it says, hospitality to strangers. Now, why is that? Why is the emphasis on strangers? Actually, the Greek word there and the words in the Old Testament, you can see there's four Hebrew words that are translated stranger in the Old Testament. And each of these words means someone foreign-born. When we're talking about strangers, we're not simply talking about someone who is down the block who we don't know, or someone who looks a little bit different to us or acts a little bit, you know, funny. No, we're talking about people that are coming from one culture and moving to another culture. The New Testament word xenos is equivalent to the Old Testament word, although Jesus, in his profound way of teaching the Word of God, expanded the understanding of who strangers are to not just foreign-born people, but to any marginalized person, any outsider, those that are outside. But the same principle applies. When we look at the words that are translated in the Old Testament and in the New Testament for this word, we can translate it as alien or sojourner or foreigner, or I like to use the word international. It is the experience of someone becoming vulnerable by moving to a place that is not familiar to them, to a foreign-born person moving to a place away from home. So what we know is that in the United States today, our nation is a nation that has internationals, it has foreigners. It has the strangers that Hebrews 13:2 is talking about in the form of international students and scholars. Over 1 million have come to the United States to study. Over 10,000 are here in this city, and there are many immigrants. We can see that there are 45 million immigrants that are in the United States. 13% of all people living in the U.S. today are foreign-born people. And many of us, like I'm a third-generation person, my ancestors, my grandparents immigrated here from Italy. And so truly, the U.S. is made up of a nation of immigrants, either first generation, second generation, third generation. That's who we are. And that is significant. I think that's part of not only our history, but it's part of what God is doing in this day and age. In fact, we live in the age called the diaspora. The diaspora means the scatterings of people. Throughout the world, people are moving and being moved, and this is all as part of God's plan to bless nations. Now, it's not the easy way. It's not the comfortable way. Some of those situations where people are being moved are through tragedy, through wars and famines and political upheaval. And nonetheless, God is at work in this great diaspora to teach us something about the importance of hospitality.
So God has a message for us as his people today. So let's understand what biblical hospitality is. Biblical hospitality is opening our hearts and homes to strangers for their benefit and for their inclusion. Now, the word inclusion is there because the essence of hospitality is what we heard earlier, is someone being made to be part of our family, where they no longer are counted as a stranger, they are counted as one of us, that they are so welcomed that they feel at home. That is the type of hospitality that God is calling his people to practice. So let me break this down into simple terms, what that looks like. You know, the passage in Hebrews 13:2 tells us about some who have practiced hospitality and have had this experience of welcoming angels. Well, who are these some? Well, certainly it refers back to the story in Genesis 18 of Abraham in welcoming these three strangers who are going by his house, and he welcomes them in. In fact, the Bible tells us it was the heat of the day, and in the Middle East it gets quite warm. Abraham was having his time of siesta, and then these strangers show up, and what does he do? The story tells us he leaps to his feet, and he begs, he eagerly entreats these visitors, please come into my home. Please let me get a little water for your feet to wash them, and let me provide some food for you. He's so eager to have them. One of the challenges in our hearts as to whether or not we view the invitation for strangers to come into our lives and our homes as an interruption, or as an intrusion, or as an inconvenience, or as a burden. This tests our heart. You know, a number of people were surveyed to ask, what is it that made you feel really welcome? And the answer was, when I felt like I wasn't an interruption, that I wasn't bothering the person, that they really wanted me there. And this is critical because we know that the major challenge, one of the major challenges to the practice of biblical hospitality is the busyness of American life. The limited time and space in our schedules that we have to really have time with people. I believe that God would be challenging us through this verse to look at our priorities and to recognize that God wants us very relational as people. If we're going to really be able to share the gospel with others, it's not just giving the word, it's giving our lives. And hospitality is the way that we can share our lives in a natural way with people who are eager to receive what we have to offer, which is our lives and our time. So that warm welcome is the first aspect that we need to have in our life, an eagerness to do this. Now, it is true that in some measure, the practice of biblical hospitality will inconvenience us. I mean, in the sense of waiting at an airport at midnight for someone who's flight has been missed and has been delayed, and spending hours there at the airport is an inconvenience in some measure. Spending some extra time to go and get someone who doesn't have a car and provide the car and bringing them shopping may be an inconvenience. But you know, in view, it depends on our viewpoint, right? And inconvenience is something when we miss the heart of things. We know the story of Martha and Mary, a great story about hospitality. Here, Martha is inviting Jesus into her home. And as a good host, she's going about preparing the meal. But what happens to her? She becomes very stressed, anxious. She's worried about the details of the meal. She wants Jesus to be well fed. Good intention. She's opened her home, but the reality is having Jesus in her home is a burden. It's stressing her out. Now, for some of you, the challenge to practice hospitality of inviting people in to your life is going to feel like a stress, unless you realize that what Jesus taught Martha was, Martha, I'm really not here about the meal. I'm here to relate to you, and I actually brought the meal. And the meal is in the form of fresh baked word of God. And I really like to give you that meal. And if you would just like to sit down, I will feed you, and you will be full. You know, that's our Lord. He had an amazing way of bringing food or making food. And it wasn't about the food. So that story challenges us, right? Now, some of you are Marthas. I know it. I meet a lot of Marthas. And it is really difficult
to get past this, to relax, to realize it's, if hospitality is entertaining in the sense that we want to impress people and everything has to be right, we'll never get things right enough to really be able to feel comfortable doing it. We've got to accept the fact that people seeing us who we are, that if we have a grace-filled life, they're not going to be concerned about how messy your house is, what stuff you've hidden in your closets, what stuff the kids scattered around on the floor, how good of a cook you are. That's not what it's about. Now, I know in cultures that practice hospitality, they can go over the top, and to show you honor, they will prepare a great meal, and they'll spend all day cooking for you, and that's something to be enjoyed. But that's not the only way hospitality can be practiced. It can be practiced with a simple meal. It can be practiced with macaroni and cheese, okay? You can find some simple food that you always have available and can always share with someone else. Because if they see your heart and if they feel the welcome, they will not go home and criticize the food. So the first thing is a warm welcome. The second thing is sharing food and drink. Now, we can spend time with people in all different ways, but in the Bible, hospitality always revolves around food and drink. It can be inside the house or outside the house, but sharing that together, you know, food is a powerful picture in the Bible of what God talks about, what true fellowship looks like. Fellowship in the New Testament was determined by whether or not you would eat with someone. And food was created by God to teach us about his goodness. And there's something about sharing food and drink together that is so powerful to communicate the type of life together that God invites us to. In fact, the kingdom of God is pictured as a great banquet. The gospel itself is pictured in terms of hospitality, where God is inviting us to his home for a meal. And the remarkable thing, which is incredible, is to say in that meal that Jesus Christ himself will serve us the meal. Just as Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet, my initial reaction is, I don't want Jesus to serve me the meal, because he shouldn't be doing that. But the Bible says that Jesus is an eternal servant and that he will even serve us the meal at the great wedding banquet. That's just amazing. But that's what Jesus is teaching us, that we can sit together in a meal. And so hospitality is sharing food and drink together. And then the third part is sharing from the heart. Because as I mentioned, it's not about the meal. It's the shared life that takes place. It's the stories. It's the lessons that God has taught. It's listening to what's on another person's heart. Now the challenge is, I mentioned in that story with Abdul, that they didn't have a quick meal, that it lasted a long time. You know, in the story of Abraham, do you know when the significant conversation took place? After the meal was done. And it takes time to get to that place often where open sharing takes place. I find, even though I know this, I just recently had an experience with a friend from another country, and we ate together, we had a long meal, and I was done. I thought, okay, I'm ready to go back to my schedule. And at the end of the meal, then he brought up, he had some marriage problems he wanted to discuss. And I thought, this is it, you know? The rest of my schedule is gone because this is what God prepared for me, and we're going to spend the time sharing with one another. But there are so many times when God will bring up significant things that we can share together in. You know, God blessed Abraham so much in that encounter and hospitality because the word of God came to Abraham in a fresh way. That in that conversation, God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? I'm going to share my heart with him. That's what happened after the meal. And so that's what we want to be able to do, is to have enough time in hospitality where we can get down to the heart level. Do you know, for so many internationals who come to the United States, because of language barriers, because of time difficulties, it's very, very difficult to develop the type of meaningful relationship where they feel like somebody can even know their heart. And that's a tragedy. And it's something that God wants us to practice. That's what this verse is. You know, it says, do not forget. This is a challenge for us. That tells us that we have the tendency to forget. That's why God wrote it in that way. So this is the essence of what
hospitality is. So what the second thing we want to talk about here, or the third thing, is the practice of biblical hospitality is normative. Now, if this is what hospitality is, which of us should be engaged in it? The scriptures are clear that this is not like an optional part of Christian life. This is woven into the lifestyle of those people who want to follow Jesus as we become hospitable people, because our God was hospitable with us, that we were strangers to the kingdom of God. He invited us in. He's prepared a place for us. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And so the scriptures, like our sister Teresa shared, that verse from Romans 12, 13, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Romans 12 is a great summary of Christian living, and here in that summary, we're told to practice hospitality. Now notice also the balance. Share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality, welcome strangers. This insider-outsider motif. Hebrews 13, 1, which I didn't read, says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So we want to do both things. Have the good internal relationships with one another, loving each other, having community, and then being able to invite strangers into that community. And 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, there's another verse, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. That again, inside. And then offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then Leviticus 19 is just one of those verses in the Old Testament again, verses 33 and 34, where God tells us again his heart and attitude and how God's people are to act in view of people moving from one culture to another. He says, when a stranger lives with you in your land, you must not mistreat him. You must love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. And this is God's heart. And there's just, actually, there are over 40 references in the Bible for God's people to show hospitality to strangers. It is something God is calling us to do. And then we see that the practice of hospitality really follows the pattern of Jesus' life. I already mentioned some things about Jesus and food, but you know, if you read about Jesus' life, if you pay attention, like if you go through the book of Luke, almost all of the significant events in the book of Luke revolve around either Jesus at a meal, going to a meal, or coming from a meal. I mean, that's where Jesus did his discipleship. That's where he did his evangelism, in the house of Levi, in the desert, providing food for people. I mean, Jesus is about hospitality. And so one of the simplest ways I think about doing ministry, if you really want to say, what can I do to have a significant ministry? It would be to every week invite someone for a meal and to eat together with someone else. That would have a profound ministry. You think about how complicated is world missions. You know, I study missiological books, church planting books. I study about contextualization. I study about the cutting trends. All these different things I read about missions works. And then I think about, yeah, those are important to know the sociological factors and the cultural factors. I need to know those things. But the practice of biblical hospitality is where it's at. This makes missions accessible in a simple way that all of us can do. So I challenge you that this simple verse from Hebrews 13, 2, it's a command, but it's not a grievous command, it's not a burdensome command. It's a command to participate with God in his heart for the stranger and to see God open the door to bless the nations. We can see this illustrated in the book of Acts, and I'm going to go through this really quickly, but I encourage you sometime to read through the book of Acts and notice the number of people who are strangers away from home that are reached with the gospel when they're away from home. It starts on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when God assembled all those people there from the different nations and Peter stood up to speak. And afterwards, when they were discipled, they were brought into people's homes and they broke bread together. And then we have the story in Acts chapter 8 of this man from Ethiopia who traveled a long distance to Jerusalem. And then there on the desert road, God sends Philip to him to share the gospel, and that Ethiopian invites him up into the chariot, and they share together. I don't know if they had a meal in that time, but it was God arranging his love for that Ethiopian eunuch. And then Acts chapter 10, we have the story of Cornelius, a Roman soldier stationed away from home, and it was so difficult to get Peter to go to Cornelius' house because he was afraid of eating with him. Peter did not want to do hospitality with Cornelius, but Cornelius wanted to do hospitality with Peter, and it ended up a great meal, because the gospel
was there, and Cornelius and his whole household came to Christ. And then you have the story in Acts chapter 16 of Lydia, the first Asian Christian mentioned by name in the Bible, who was reached away from home in Philippi when Paul goes there. And what's the first thing that Lydia does when she comes to Christ? She invites them into her home. She says, oh, if you really count me as a believer, please come in my home and stay with me. And then we have the story of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, from Tarsus, left his home to study as an international in Jerusalem under the Jewish teacher Gamaliel, when later he has his Damascus Road experience. The book of Acts is filled with the stories of people reached away from home. This is what God does in fulfilling the Great Commission, one of the ways he's at work. And so hospitality opens the door for us to bless the nations. But the last thing I want to talk to you about is hospitality opens the door for us to have a profound and new experience in our Christian walk with Jesus. Because in that verse, not only does it give us the command, not only does it tell us, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, but that it holds out this potential blessing, this promise that God might show up in some way if we practice biblical hospitality. Because for some who have done this, they encountered angels. If you go through the Bible and read the stories of people who open up their lives to hospitality, God shows up in amazing ways. You think about, in the Old Testament, the story of the widow of Zarephath. She was down to her last meal. And God sent the prophet Elijah, who said, share your last meal with me. Now, that would have made headlines today, but the woman did it. And then God supernaturally provided meal after meal after meal for that woman. The food never ran out because she shared what she had. She opened the door for God's work in her life. You have the Shunammite woman in the Old Testament. The prophet Elisha used to go by her house, and she used to invite him in. And in fact, she made a special room for the prophet. In old days in America, maybe some of you who are the older generation will know, that when homes were built, people used to make a special room called the prophet's room. Now we call them guest rooms. But the guest room was based on that story where that woman used to invite Elijah to come and stay in her home. And then as a result of that, though she was unable to have a child, when she got prayed for, she was able to supernaturally conceive and have a child. And then later on, the child died and was resurrected from the dead. That's a supernatural experience. And I just think that God wants to show us things about, you know, the Word of God will come to us fresh. We will encounter God in new ways if we practice biblical hospitality. We will both bless the nations and be blessed. Now, I want to have a better experience with God, don't you? I mean, if you could say, well, yeah, I want to know Jesus more, then I would say we need to practice biblical hospitality. Now, there are some challenges to do this. Some of you who are single, you don't prepare many meals. Americans eat out a lot, right? Let's do it together. We need to do it in community. Maybe some of you can group together sometimes to do hospitality. Maybe some of you you don't need a lot of space to do it, by the way, and you can do it at a restaurant, but I think it's good if you can do it in a home. Maybe as a small group, you could do it. Maybe you could pair up with some friends. I think the thing is more, if you have the heart, you can find a way. And we need to be creative about it. We need to, one suggestion I have for you is this. Why not think about a day, whether it's once a month or once a week, or someday you just set aside, this is my day that I'm going to do. I'm going to practice hospitality. Now, sometimes occasions come up, you can't plan it, but for Americans, maybe we need to plan it. That works sometimes a little better. Say, okay, maybe, you know, I talked about that family that on Sundays, they made it their practice to invite Abdul home after church. Maybe there's a Saturday lunch or something you can build into your life that you can say, I'm regularly going to look for a stranger, either the same stranger that I'm becoming friends with or somebody I'm going to practice with. My wife and I have done that for years, and found that we developed deep and meaningful friendships as a result of consistently building it into our life. So I'd like to pray for you. You know, this is the Word of God, right? Hebrews 13:2 is God's Word.
It's spoken to us, and we need to respond to the Word of God. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your Word is so powerful that it cuts to our hearts, and that today you're having us examine ourselves against your command to practice hospitality. And Lord, I know that that means that for some of us that we need to take some steps. I know we don't respond out of guilt, Lord. It's not that you're condemning us if we're not doing it, but you are inviting us, and you're offering a possibility of something great happening. And so I pray for an increase in faith and courage, and I pray you'd show each person what little step or big step they can take to practice biblical hospitality. And I pray that as a result of this church that for so long has faithfully reached out to international students, I pray there will come an increase in the numbers of people who come to know you through biblical hospitality. And I pray that there will be stories in the days to come that will share both the blessing and being blessed for your name, glory. In Jesus' name, amen.